everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Our guest tonight is the love that we find between the hosts. Heading in tomorrow morning for a little oral surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's nice to know they'll be using the latest techniques.
That's right, right. There's something called a drill.
Mm.
It's a dental drill.
Who is it? Do they push on a pedal to get the wheels?
Yeah, RPM goes up. It's pneumatically powered.
Oh, pneumatic! I thought it was one of those like a Singer sewing machine from the turn of the century where they
pump.
Yeah, they pedal it to get the wheel spinning.
Well, there was a big stone they would use to spin with the foot, like a potter's wheel from the Aztec
sort of
culture.
A Flintstone-esque. Yes,
nice. Right. Now he'll be drilling into that root canal that he screwed up about 3.5 years ago. So I got that to look forward to. He said, and I know we've discussed this before. I don't know why dentists feel the need to do this. And maybe I'm the only one who's experienced this with a dentist. But it still does not seem to be an exact science, this dentistry, because there's always a little room for some interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
They hold the x-rays up and they go, well, we got to do something. We could, well, geez, you got a problem here. It doesn't need to be taken. We should probably take care of it. And I'm always thinking, let it go. Let it go, you know. No, we should just go ahead and clean that whole thing up. Yeah, we can go in through the gum. And by the way, you know you're in for a bad, bad day at the dentist when the good option, when the option you got your fingers crossed for is going in through the gum.
Yeah, yeah. That's
yeah,
not good.
Yeah. Like, I'm sitting there rubbing my rosary going,
oh, please,
please let him go in through the gum. That's going to be good. But then after they float that biscuit out there, it's like, No, we should probably just go in through the tooth we're going through the tooth. And it's like, I don't know why, but for some reason I'm now pulling very hard for him to go in through the gum. So that look forward to tomorrow. The not only the root canal, but the redoing of the root canal that was redone 3 years ago.
I was in dentist chair a couple weeks ago with like sensitivity in my tooth. I figured, oh, something's really wrong here. And they go, it's broken. Lay back. Here we go. Like, whoa, I was just coming here to find out what's going on. It's no, just sit down. Relax. Got an hour set aside here. Let's go.
You weren't emotionally prepared. I know.
I was delighted when it was over, but at first I was horrified.
And going to the dentist in the morning during the winter months is always a bad idea because the water they spray on your teeth to flush things out is freezing cold groundwater.
Yeah.
And as I stated to my dentist, you know, it would be a lot more comfortable if they had something that warmed that water up to like a nice lukewarm temperature before you blast it all over the teeth. And he said, oh, they got those. And I thought, yeah, they got a lot of stuff. Apparently there's some dentistry catalog that's going around with tons and tons of things that I really think would be considered a breakthrough in comfort and safety, but I don't see anyone buying anything from that catalog.
I have two conflicting feelings, one of which predominates here, and that is that your dentist must just love having you as a patient. The other feeling is I feel so goddamn sorry for him.
Yes, because as you know, from us trying to buy a telephone yesterday, Drew, I make everyone feel extra bad about
it. I forgot about
job.
That. Yes, that was good. The guy's giving you a discount. He's walking you through the store, and you yelling at him about his product selection at his own store.
Well, Drew,
we were at Best Buy. They've taken good care of you, right?
Well, no, you got the discount. I didn't get the discount. They took care of you. Jesus, you should have seen Drew, everybody. We were down at the calendar signing, the K-Rock calendar signing at the Best Buy in Torrance or Hawthorne or whatever pit they've chose for us to go
it was
to
not
this
a pit.
Year.
It was a nice place.
And, it's beautiful country out there.
Well, Hawthorne's pit. Best Buy was nice.
Yeah, that one block is not a pit. And Drew and I both decided we should go. Best Buy is a big consumer electronics store, and Drew decided he was going to go in there. And I was going to go in there, and we got hooked up with the manager somehow.
Shame.
And when that manager told Drew that he was in for a little discount, Drew went ballistic. Drew's eyes were spinning around like pinwheels. So me and Drew walked all through the store loading up on stuff, thinking about the discount. And Drew bought his stuff and got rung up and got his discount. But when I was getting my stuff rung up, the manager was showing Drew where the bathroom was. That's what happened, Drew.
Yes.
Right in the middle of this guy ringing me up,
yes,
and this was a salesman who didn't really know what was going on.
He was also the guy demanding I buy the service agreement or something.
Right.
No, that's more than the discount. I'm not interested.
When I handed my... I knew I wasn't in for a discount when I handed my guy my credit card. He wanted to see some ID.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the manager took us over to him and said, hey, these guys, set them up, buff them out.
You know what? He'd asked for my ID right in front of the manager. I figured he was just showing the manager he was doing his job.
Point is right when this guy's ringing us up, Drew says to the manager, who's standing around and about to chime in, theoretically with the, hey, don't forget the discount line, Drew says to the guy, where's the bathroom? Like it was all part of some scam you guys had been working. And the guy's like, oh, here, let me show you. And him and Drew walk to the other side of the store, and the guy hits the total button and asks for the credit card, and the stuff's all rung up and totaled out by the time Drew and the manager get back. And then it's too little, too late at that point.
So sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, remind me before the night is over to tell everybody what they need to look for in a portable phone. Okay.
There's three things for tonight's show. Cranberry sauce.
We'll get to that later in the week.
Cranberries. Later this week.
Uh-huh.
Portable phone.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff
we
should look for.
We got to talk about this tech TV thing that I'm going to try to get you set up on.
All right. That's all good time. So it's a very very tech-oriented show tonight.
Yeah.
Man show's on tonight. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring that up. And also...
Best show on television, The Man Show.
God, love that, Jesse Ventura.
Also.
Well, I was watching something about airport security tonight on 60 Minutes again, and here's something I can't figure out, and maybe someone can give us this answer, and maybe Drew knows the answer, although
I doubt it. Yeah.
There's all this, you know, it's been 2 months since the tragedy, and apparently the airport security is, not a whole lot tougher than it was before. And I flew on Saturday. And it's the same kind of third world guy standing around with their head spinning around and the fifth grade education from countries you've never heard of, making $7 an hour, checking you out.
Yeah.
It's always the same answer. Well, we can fix anything we want with money. These guys are getting $7 an hour. What do you expect? And they tell you all the time, the security companies, their main industry that competes with them is fast food. I mean, that is the pool that they're drawing from. If these people did not work airport security, a lot of them would work at Burger King. Fine. So, what's the solution? Well, the solution is, instead of $7.50 an hour, we got to give these people $14 an hour and make it into a little bit of a career.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a little dental plan and a little health plan and give them a couple weeks paid vacation every year and turn it into a career.
Mm-hmm.
But everything is like, well, we don't have the money for that. But here's what I can't understand. I just flew to Vegas on Friday. There was 120 people on the plane each way. Those 120 people went through that airport security section 15 or 20 minutes. Everyone, over the course of 45 minutes, 400 people filed through there. If my ticket to Vegas round trip on Southwest, if it was $179, why not make it $185? And cover the security.
Like tax it. Basically,
Is there a human being alive who, if you said your round trip flight from L.A. to New York, instead of being $413, is now $417, who would be outraged and say, I'm taking a bus?
Yeah.
And if you're talking about 400 people on that airplane going to New York, times $3 a person, isn't that an extra, $800 for just that one plane?
Tax, yeah. It's a tax. That'd be reasonable. A user's tax.
It doesn't have to be a user's tax. Yeah. Just kick it up. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, if the federal government gets involved, believe me, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be something like that.
But
why not have a private industry in getting it?
But this is the cost of doing business.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you stop 1,000 travelers and ask 1,000 people, hey, you mind paying an extra $3 a flight for some professional security?
Yeah.
What are the 1,000 people going to say? But so anyway, so my point is, where's the problem then?
Yeah. Why aren't they doing that?
Yeah, instead of the Southwest flight being 118, make it 122 and let's move on.
The other thing you probably have to deal with is that they have random checks now. The airlines have random security checks. My wife and I had the privilege of being one of the random selectees.
Yeah. Well, sorry.
Well, first of all, they check. It's like a cavity search. I mean, they are really going at it. They put gloves on immediately. They're slapping gloves on as you walk up. Holy Christ, what's going on here?
Go after the rich blonde chicks or traveling with the doctors. That's what we need to do.
And then watch the terrorist get on the plane.
Yeah.
Which is what I did.
Well, I stood there, and I got singled out of line, too, and had to stand on the little pad while with the little footprints
in
it.
No, this is different.
While they ran the wand over me, and I'm a 190-pound guy, but next to me was a Sandy Duncan, essentially.
Yeah.
I was a 57-year-old woman with short red hair who went about 103 pounds and had 60 of those pounds for those big mom glasses. She's got her purse with the embroidery stuff in it, and I'm thinking, we really got to put the wand over this postmenopausal chick with the red hair who I could take out, with a good fart. You know what I mean? It's just, I know we're supposed to check everybody, but is this really good security to single Sandy Duncan?
Yeah.
Peter Pan
is being checked.
Let's put it this way. When white, red-haired women in their mid-50s, and here's the deal I'll cut with all security. The second they do one crime, we can start seeing. But let's let them at least make their move. Let them do something first. One thing. One car bomb. Something. Some sarin gas. Something.
Yeah.
Do we really need to pull that chick out? I know it's supposed to be random, but what message does that send to the bad guys?
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, you'll slide in because my mom is going to have this wand put up her ass, and you'll just slide right on past. That doesn't sound like a great plan. I know we don't want to profile, but shouldn't we profile? Isn't that what we're doing here?
Don't the passengers flying the plane want that?
No, we're worried about the 108-pound chick with the big mom glasses.
No, but the point is you interview everyone on the plane, even people that fit profiles. Because I was happy to be a surge, no problem. But I didn't want my search to go unnecessarily at the expense of the guy they should be searching.
Yeah, you don't want any guys from basic cable being searched when there's legitimate threats that could possibly be around. Let's help the kiddies.
All right, here we go.
Bill?
We haven't talked together in 3 or 4 days.
You gotta get Bill, you're 30. What's Bill?
You're gay.
Bill's 33.
Lower that screen, would you? I can't see it. Thank you.
How are you guys doing this evening?
Good, Bill.
I have a great deal of respect for you. My question is, I've got near the crack of my butt, near the top, there's a hole about the size of a pimple, and it's got white or clear liquid coming out of it, and I was just wondering if you could help me with that, with what it is.
And it's called a pilonidal cyst.
Pilonidal.
And they're very common.
Can they be removed?
They need to be removed because they can be a big mess. The sinus tract can really erode way back into your sacrum there.
What do you mean the sinus tract?
It's a little hole. Sinus meaning hole or cave. Sinus means hole. Holes in your head.
Okay, it's been for several years. Is there a possibility of it getting into my nervous system and actually doing damage?
I mean, they can get a bad infection. They can get a staph or a strep in there. Even anaerobes can get going. But what they do is they either stick something down the sinus and open the whole thing up, or they actually cut the whole area out, and they really let it, they actually don't even sew it up. They let it close from the bottom up.
Like a wick or something?
It's a little more involved than that. Basically, that's it. But you got to get that done, Bill. It can be
real. Why does that happen there?
Probably, nobody knows for sure. Some people believe it's a genetic thing, but pilonidal means nest of hair.
Oh.
And yeah, is that nice?
Fantastic.
And it's where your cheeks kind of fold together, and hair, they think their bacteria can kind of erode in there in people who are predisposed.
Oh, yeah.
I had one of those.
You did?
Yeah, when I was like 19.
Good times.
Yeah.
You don't have a nest of hair back there.
No, but maybe something was accumulating, see?
What was accumulating there?
Like hair, like debris.
Debris.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Nice.
Nice thought, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice thought for the guys giving you the cavity check at the airport.
Mm.
Ben?
Yeah.
You're 15?
I've been going out with this girl for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And I talk to her and see her mostly every day. And we just broke up. And I want to know if rather I love her or is it just that I miss her?
You're gay.
Well, no. You love her as much as a 15-year-old can, but this breakup is something that is inevitable. It must happen. And the feelings you have are awful, but they're important. You need to kind of go through them. And don't keep going back and trying to re-hook up this relationship, reestablish this relationship. Let it go.
Did she dump you?
No, that's because the problem is that I, like, do a lot of bad stuff. Not like, cheating, but, like, she told me not to do stuff, and I go ahead and do them.
Like what?
And I don't know, because there's something...
Like what?
Like about something about my hair. She says, if you do that, I'm gonna be mad at you. And I go ahead and do them. Or, you know, I go ahead and break the rules, and she gets mad because she has to follow my rules. And
maybe you'll learn something about relationships, Ben, and that is there's something called mutuality, is that you have to respect the other person's feelings, you have to pay attention to them, and you have to sort of have a little give and take. You can't just go on about your business as though the other person's feelings don't count, because they will leave.
Well, yeah. I tell you, that hair story really
shocking.
Chills down my spine.
Yes.
I mean, I've never is anything more been more graphically illustrated as why they've broken up.
Oh, well, it was not that. It's just that I like don't follow her things, and she has to. Well, she doesn't have to follow my things, but I get really mad. You know?
Yeah. All right. Hey, Ben. As much as you miss her, and as much as you feel like you want to be with her, it's probably best that you just use this experience and move on. And you know, look at it as a little opportunity to reflect on yourself and think about those things that you did that you could have done, not to get her back, but just improve for your next relationship.
But how about if I do want to get her back? Because, you know, I'm, like, really into her, and the whole thing is...
Yeah, but no, Ben.
If you're really into her, you wouldn't have kept doing things that pissed her off.
That's right. And this is a learning lesson. This is the way relationships are supposed to go at your age anyway, so...
All right.
Let it go, and especially if you're not ready to change
Ben,
a lot.
Ben, I hear trouble.
Yeah.
Ben. Are you doing all right? I see you costing me money down the road somehow, whether it be through incarceration or rehab or parole. Officers, what are you up to at 15?
Well, not much. I just have a band, but that's all I do.
All right, you got a band. All right, but are you getting into drugs?
No, I just drink a couple of times, but, you know.
Okay, all right. Just listen, take it easy. Do good in school. Go off to college somewhere. Work on your music, all that good stuff. Don't hurt anybody. And I don't know what that syndrome is. I did it for my first 10 girlfriends, which is... You basically antagonize them to the point where they break up with you, and then you need them back. I don't, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. You don't do it in any other facet of life. It's like having a job, saying you hate it, bugging your boss and antagonizing your boss until he finally fires you.
Intentionally effing up at the job.
Yeah.
Not just antagonizing your boss, but like truly effing up the job until they fire you.
All right. All right, yeah. Screwing up and then begging for your job back.
Right.
And then screwing it up again and then begging for your job back again. I don't know what other facet of life you do that in.
None.
Because when you hate your job, and you get fired, it's the best day of your life.
Yeah, or you leave before you get fired.
Right. This is something that young men do in relationships. Kelly?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, well, when I was a freshman, I was probably like 15, I did a lot of drugs, like mainly just weed and speed, and that lasted for the whole 3-year span until 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was an everyday thing, and like now I have really, really bad mood swings, and I was just wondering if there's anything that I could do to control that.
How much speed were you doing?
At least a little, well, I don't know, weed. Do like an 8-ball in the bathroom like almost every day.
You'd snort it?
No, sometimes.
You smoke it?
Yeah.
You do an 8-ball in the bathroom every day?
Well, it was me and like 4 other people.
Are you having any memory problems?
Do all you have to go in the bathroom, by the way, if you're the only ones there?
Do what?
I mean, couldn't you?
At school.
No. It's funny, when you do coke, even when you live alone, you go into the bathroom and do coke.
By yourself.
Thanks. Right.
Yeah.
You can't sit in your living room and do coke. All right, what's that?
I think a lot of people think it's a safety thing.
Yeah, whatever.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, the profile, the behavior from cocaine, for whatever reason, makes people isolate by themselves. They close the windows, shut the drapes. Speed is not that way.
Well, I'll tell you what the profile is, or at least was back in the early 80s, mid 80s, $110 a gram. You don't want
nobody sharing it.
fat buddy Lou coming by and going, hey, give me a line, you know? Mm. Hell no.
So, right. Kelly, you having any memory problems?
Yeah.
You have trouble learning and remembering things, that sort of thing?
Actually, no. I do fine in learning. It's just remembering things from my daily life. Like.
And how long have you been off the pot for?
Do what now?
How long have you been off the pot for?
6 months.
And what was the thing you have trouble remembering?
No, it's not that I have trouble remembering things. Well, I do, like, in my daily life. Like, I couldn't tell you what I ate for supper last night.
How about before you can't find your car keys?
Yeah. Just little stuff like that.
All right.
But my question was that, I mean, I have really bad mood swings, and I had them before, of course.
All right, but just let me finish assessing what's going on here. Are you in recovery?
No, I just kind of quit it all cold turkey, and okay. I've never touched it again.
If you don't get involved in some kind of program of recovery, you are bound to have very severe mood disturbances. You've got to replace that with something. Whatever it was that was motivating your use in the first place to feel better is now much worse because of what's happened to your brain from the drug use, what maybe has gone on in the meantime, what you've left undeveloped. All that accumulates, and you really need to replace the drugs with something, or else you're going to get depressed and anxious and really have difficulty. On top of that, speed typically causes memory problems and depression. So does pot. So you're really set up to be depressed and to have mood swings. And if you don't do something to manage that, 9 times out of 10, you go back to drugs.
Yeah, well, so what do you suggest?
I suggest you talk to a doctor who has experience with treating addiction, a psychiatrist or internist who has that history, that training.
Mm-hmm.
Call a recovery program, call AA, call NA, call some, you know, there's lots of resources in your community you can get in touch with. There are tons of people with your history at NA, MA. Give them a call.
All right.
Call local.
Yeah, she's in Texas. They got a ton of that over there, right?
Yeah.
You can just, for most all these numbers we give you, you can just open the phone book, right?
I mean, you can open the phone book, call info line. Every community has an info line. Ask for AA locally or NA locally. The phone book has AA.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, again, any hospital would have an addiction recovery program. You call them, talk to the doctors that run that.
All right. Good times.
You're inspired tonight, Adam. Inspired.
They weren't serving peanuts on my plane on the flight home from Vegas.
Yesterday?
Yeah. Because somebody called up and said they were allergic to peanuts.
Right. They don't do that anymore.
No. Southwest does peanuts.
Oh.
I got myself 2 packs on the way out.
Uh-huh.
But on the way back, somebody was flying and said they're allergic. I wanted to kill that MF.
Find him?
No, how the hell do I know he's allergic to peanuts? But I'll tell you,
I'm surprised you didn't
when
just grab
I'm in
the
charge,
phone.
There will be random checks for that kind of thing.
Grab the phone and say, excuse me, I'd like to speak to whomever it was.
Can't they wear a mask for that?
Yeah.
I hate all people that are allergic to stuff?
Wait a minute. They cannot eat the peanuts.
Yeah, but it gets in the air.
No.
I know. That's okay. This is good. Now I'm fired up. We're going to take a break, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to yell about peanuts. All right? Okay.
I know you want these nuts.
And we'll be back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Cast of Undeclared in here tomorrow night. Oh, wait, didn't go yet. Yeah, that's right. Cast of Undeclared
with you.
Cast Undeclared in here tomorrow night. And,
oh, my God.
Tori Amos is coming in here.
Yeah, we haven't seen her.
What happened? Someone got raped, and now... why is she in here again? Chicken, bugger, bugger, chicken, bugger, bugger, chicken, chicken, bugger,
bugger. Wait, what was the word that we were listening to them playing while we were signing those calendars? There was some word they were saying that... Remember?
I don't know.
Oh, what was the word?
I don't know.
Oh, damn.
Okay. All right, let's hop back on these phones here and
here
help
go.
The kiddies. Remember to talk to everyone about peanuts and portable phones.
Well, let's listen. Mugga, that's what it was.
Mugga.
Yeah, mugga. Mugga.
What are they saying?
Anderson keeps saying
pogo.
It's
called pogo.
Pogo.
Pogo, yeah, it's mugga.
Mugga is what, you know, mugga, coincidentally, is what we would always do when we were, like, doing, like, extras in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, when not Harrison Ford and his wife, but the couple sitting behind them or chatting. We would always put them
when you were when you were an extra.
No, not when I was an extra. When I would watch a movie with one of my friends, and the line was always mugga.
Actually, they call that wawa.
Oh, is that wawa?
They actually call it that. Yeah,
wawa, wawa. Yeah, we call it mugga mugga, but you know, East Coast probably. All right, where are we here, Drew?
Going line two.
Don?
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I was talking to my boyfriend today, and it turns out that he has a fever blister on his lip, and it's herpes.
Mm-hmm.
As most fever blisters are.
Right, and I'm wondering, you know, how contagious is that? How concerned should I
be? It's very contagious.
Okay.
So what's like any other cold sore?
Okay.
You know, strange, I saw a huge outbreak of shingles last week. Very strange. I wonder, anyway. And so can it be what, transmitted?
I mean, can it be transmitted? Can it convert to, like, genital herpes?
If he were to kiss you in that region, yes, absolutely.
Okay, how concerned should I be? I mean, just, stay clear of him?
Stay clear of his mouth until the thing is healed.
Okay.
Okay, now whether or not he can get you down there, transmit something down there later... Yeah, he could. Even when there's not a sore present, he could occasionally be secreting virus that could transmit something. But
when there's like no symptom at all?
It's a possibility, but that's such a common virus on the mouth that, you'd have to basically cut yourself off completely from anybody getting down there, right? Because it's a common thing, and it happens. It happens that transmits herpes.
Okay. I mean, like, I guess, like, one of my concerns is apparently, like, chicken pox and Epstein-Barr are also part of, like, the herpes virus.
Right, but those that's like saying, strep and staph are gram-positive bacteria. Therefore, they're in the same family, but they're completely different pathogens, completely different illnesses.
Listen, okay. Nobody gets it. Only crazy people on disability get that Epstein-Barr anyway.
Well, but, I mean, I guess kind of like I've had some problems with, like, chicken pox in the past where I can't develop an immunity to it, and I'm wondering if I would be more susceptible.
What do you mean what do you mean?
I started working in a hospital, and one of the things is that they go through and do, like, a test to see what you have, you know, a natural immunity to.
Right.
And chicken pox is one of them, and when they tested it, I didn't have any kind of resistance to the chicken pox.
No, that means you had it?
Yeah, I've had it.
Well, you just, that antibody can die out in time.
Okay.
People can get chickenpox again later.
And so, I mean, it's not like...
It has nothing to do with herpes.
Okay, so it's not like I'd be, like, have some really gross outbreak then and...
No.
Okay.
No. Good luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye. Good times.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, well, I want to talk to John. He's had that shy bladder. He's been on hold for almost an hour. Get rid of him. John?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure there, buddy. Drew didn't want to take it, but
I was working into both.
No, no. I said that,
look at this.
Hey, John.
Both 50 minutes. That's what I was working into.
John, 52 and a half. Sorry. Go ahead, Johnny.
Okay, well, I have a extremely shy bladder, and I was just wondering
one of the Cosby kids? Stop that.
All right.
I was wondering if Dr. Drew knew of any medications that could help alleviate this type of problem.
Wait, you can't pee
in public, right?
Yeah, whenever there's people around, I can't.
Yeah, I don't... there are things that can sort of reduce the smooth muscle tension in that area, but I don't know that anyone would give you that just because of an emotional thing, behavioral thing.
You
really.
Got to get over yourself, that's all.
Well,
start off with public parks and work your way up to, like, football stadiums.
Strangely, there probably are behavioral interventions like that. That indeed rather see you do than take a bunch of medication.
Well, John, first off, you're speaking to the king.
I know. Because, I've heard about you. You're like legendary.
Yeah, I'm a guy.
I'm the polar opposite.
I'm a guy who urinated on a guy's wallet during a taping of The Man Show with about 400 people looking at me while I turned my back to them and on cue whizzed all over a guy's wallet.
And yet when I pee next to you, you kind of shake. You kind of get that, ooh.
I'm trying to spray you with urine.
No, you get that.
I get that,
Yeah,
I only do that at night. All right, just shut up.
Well, I'm just saying, you're not as bold as you say you
How
are.
How dare you not say my bladder is bold? Anyway, listen
it
to me, John.
Talkish, but not bold.
Grand.
Thank
and
you.
And beautiful.
Thank you, Huel. He was talking about churros. So, John, here's what you need to do. You need to start using public bathrooms when there's nobody else in them. Do you understand me?
Yeah, well, I'm in a support group and everything.
Look,
you're in a support group?
No, he's not in a support group.
No, I am. I mean, we meet at airports.
No, he doesn't. It's bogus.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
You do not meet at a support group to urinate in public, and the group meets at airports.
Yeah. I mean, we don't meet at airports now because...
there's no way.
Who knows? I'm interested in listening.
What support group?
I've never heard of such a thing.
You can't meet at airports. All right, now, you're so
lucky.
Aren't
you fascinated?
Yes.
There's not a lot of knowledge in the medical community about it, because there's not very many men that have this problem.
Well, first off, who cares, for the most part?
I do. I mean, it's the worst thing.
Listen to me. Do you have a park near your house?
Yeah.
All right, can you go in and use that public bathroom?
Yeah.
Well, how can you do that with a shy bladder?
I mean, I can go in there, but if there's other people, I can't. I mean... it's impossible.
Even if you're shut in a stall.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can do that occasionally.
You're in a stall and you're okay.
Yeah, occasionally.
All right, let me float this theory, Drew.
But every bathroom has a stall. Who cares?
If what John's saying is true, and I'm, by the way, the guy who uses the sink, so.
Yeah.
But if what John says is true, and you're saying, I don't want you on medication just for this problem, but what do you mean just for this problem? This guy's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, John, you got serious problems.
Are you on medication?
It's not limited just to the bathroom.
No, it is.
No, no way.
Are you on medication? John?
No, I'm not.
No medicines. Nothing.
No.
Okay, hold on a second. If this guy, and he's full of crap, but if anyone listening is doing this, including John, attending meetings for a support group about not being able to urinate
in
public bathrooms.
Yeah.
You need to be on some medication.
Or just a hobby. Some other way to make life more fulfilling.
You need an outlet. Yeah. John?
I can't believe you guys.
Now you're full of crap that I can't believe.
No. I mean, I got some information off Dr. Drew's website.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Go, baby. Just give us the punchline and let's go.
But there is...
No, let him give the punchline.
Well, I'm just going to say that I deal with this all the time and people that... need to give urine tests at the drug unit. And this happens pretty frequently. And it's something you learn to deal with.
That's all right.
There's only one patient that we've actually had a problem with.
John, give the punchline and let's go.
No, I can't believe you guys haven't, you're not giving me any type of respect. I mean...
Go ahead.
This is a serious problem. There's just not that many people that have it.
Okay, but why is it so serious?
I can't go out socially very much because, I mean...
But that's a different issue. That's part of a more global social phobia.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with urine. That has to do with your emotional state.
No, because, I mean, I could be at some place and then drink a lot of, beer or whatever.
Okay, well, don't drink when you go out. That wouldn't help with that.
I know, but what am I going
to
do then?
And then go to and be at a place that has stalls.
Hold on. You got a nice beer buzz going and you can't take a leak in a stall with a closed door?
That's the worst part about
it. You said you could do it in a stall with a closed door sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, but you can't count on it.
All right, you got to get some therapy then, buddy. But listen, here's what I want you to do, John, please. I want everyone to do this, including myself, although I'm not going to do it. Whatever problem you have that you think is a local problem, make it a global problem.
Yeah, well, don't consider it a symptom of something larger.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you think your only problem is you cannot urinate in public spaces, you're way, way off.
And it's not that we're not
a serious problem.
It's not that we're not taking your problem seriously or that we're not considering it. It's that
we're doing them one better. I'm taking it very seriously. I'm turning it into a bigger problem.
Right.
That's more than you
perceive it to be.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yes, I mean, if what you're saying is true, there's an emotional problem here that needs to be dealt with.
And even the people that I deal with frequently that have the shy bladder, they're not restrained socially. You know what I'm saying? That's not, you know what I'm saying? I'm dealing with that fairly frequently in patients. Now, 8 times out of 10, they're saying they have a shy bladder, so they don't get the drug test because they've been using drugs. But that 20% that really does have it still doesn't restrict their social life very much.
James?
Yes?
Oh, we need to go into this. Self-help groups at airports. James, what's up? You're 19.
I have a girlfriend, and she wants me to move up to Illinois with her and have her grandparents buy a apartment or rent apartment for us.
Mm-hmm.
And totally, we're like, I'm believing that like her grandparents are going to be in total control, she keeps saying, no, 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 they're not. You know, they're nice people. But every time I hear about her grandparents, they're always trying to govern her. And I just have a problem with going up to Illinois, being governed by grandparents. But I really love this girl. I have a kid. I have a son with her.
Oh, boy.
And
Where is she now?
Illinois.
Where is she now?
Is she in Illinois now? Or is she in Orlando with you?
Orlando with me.
Oh.
And how are you guys supporting each other?
I work security, and she's a medical assistant.
So why would you even want to move up to Illinois?
I don't.
Why does she?
To be in contact with her grandparents, her grandmother.
So she just did her grandparents raise her?
Kind of when she was younger, yeah. And they also pay for. I mean, they bought her a car.
So she just wants to be back with her family. Is that right? I mean, on the surface, that's what it is. And what you're seeing underneath that is they use money and things as a way of controlling her.
Well, listen, winter in Orlando, winter in Chicago are the same. You know, it's a coin toss.
Orlando, Florida.
Plus, you have to leave your job and get a new work. And I understand. I don't understand why she would be so hell-bent on that. You're going to have to talk with her much more about her reasons, because it just doesn't seem like there's enough here to warrant a big move.
Well, what do you think about where in Illinois?
Chicago. I'm not quite sure, really.
Oh.
I don't know where her grandparents are located. Near Chicago somewhere.
All right. Well, these are questions to ask.
Yeah.
Because there's differences, you know? I mean, maybe you want to go to Chicago. Do you have any desire to go to Chicago?
No, I have none. I just want to stay in Orlando.
All right, well, then don't go.
Right.
Another question was, she's also like a big hypochondriac. How do I fix that? Since she's a medical assistant, she knows all the stuff.
Yeah, that's the kind of person gets attracted to those kinds of jobs, and it's not good.
How old is she?
19.
Well, here's what...
Just let her take the kid and move to Chicago. Write it off.
There's different ways of approaching that. One is to get her a mental health professional to make sure that's being managed and looked at to see if those physical preoccupations aren't part of a more, as Adam would say, global problem.
Yeah.
If it is just a physical preoccupation, some people advocate regular visits with a doctor, like once a month, go in there, let her unload on him or her, and then just...
Well, what about can she also, like, tell everybody our son's sick, like, constantly?
That's bad. That is.
Well, they call that Munchausen's by proxy.
That's what they call it, Adam.
And,
very good. And that is a dangerous precedent for your child.
Mm-hmm.
That is a serious mental health problem.
Because she decides, since she works at a pediatric office, she can take them whenever she wants.
No, you need to get a therapist for her.
Hey, James.
Yeah.
I know you're 19, and by the way, this is a great testimonial for not having kids at 19, because you don't know what the F is going on with anything. You don't know where Chicago is. You don't know anything about your girlfriend and her hypochondria. It's all a mess. This is why you can't have kids at 19. But you have a kid, and here's what you got to do now, James. You got to grow up real fast. You got to start calling the shots and being a man. You got to go, look, you're going to screw this kid up worse than you're screwed up. People hate that, by the way.
Yeah.
But that's the truth. And I don't think going to Chicago would be a great thing for the kid or her, for that matter, because Lord knows her grandparents are probably a piece of work.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why she's a piece of work with the hypochondria. Plus, she's considering this move in November.
Yeah, good times.
You need to tell her, look, it is one big frozen block of... It's like somebody pumped liquid nitrogen into that state of Illinois for the next 5 months. Let's do this, baby. Let's sleep on it. Let's hibernate on it through the winter. And then in, February, March, we'll start talking. When the frost melts, then we'll start talking about it.
Maybe.
Right. Okay. We'll take ourselves a little break. Hey, Drew, when you were at the Best Buy yesterday, did some, like, 16-year-old chick come up to you and start talking to you about what an asshole I was?
Yes, she did. She scared me.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
What'd she say?
First of all, she was very upset, and I don't know what you'd said to her. She walked away yelling.
Oh, she did.
You're an asshole.
Some 16-year-old chick came up to me and said, and I got this great policy for anyone who screws with me, by the way, but she said... I was looking at phones that I wasn't satisfied with, and she said, are you an asshole in real life, too? She was like a 16-year-old girl, and I just looked at her, and I said, Beat it.
Oh, boy.
Beat it is one of the greatest things you can say to somebody. But you can't say anything else. You can't say, like, beat it now or no, I'm not, and beat it. You just got to look at them and go, beat it. And it scares them every time. So I scared her, and I guess she went and talked to you, and then I lost track of her.
Yeah, she looked like she was getting ready to get, like, start throwing stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, she got angry. Yeah. Fine. We'll take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back. Well, what time is it, Drew?
It's 10 minutes and 20 seconds before the top of the hour.
All right, so that means it's going to be 11 hours and 10 minutes until my oral surgery begins tomorrow. So we'll start that countdown.
Oh, you should be delightful tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Class of undeclared in here tomorrow night. Rebecca.
I just hope I don't freak out with that ether, with the nitrous. I start going a little crazy with that
stuff.
That's
good. Rebecca's 23.
Hi. I'm having problems. I guess I'm on medication for depression, and now I'm having problems with my lover. I'm having problems.
Your lover. Are you gay?
No.
What heterosexual person calls their partner their lover?
Well,
the one that's not in a relationship but has just
you're just having sex?
Friend would benefit thing.
Wow. Yes.
Is it okay to be in love to a guy twice my age? My lover likes me a lot, but sometimes I'm scared because he is very active. He gives me oral sex. I just give him the hand.
Well, apparently someone else uses the lover, too. Rebecca?
Yeah.
So what medication are you on?
I'm on trazodone and Paxil.
Well, Paxil is the one that'll shut off your sex drive.
And that trazodone stuff, I just started taking it, and it's been making me sick.
Nauseated?
What's that?
Nauseated?
Yeah, like I got sick, like it came out, you know, whatever I had for dinner.
That's a pretty unusual side effect from trazodone. Trazodone is a sort of a weak antidepressant that's mostly used for sleep.
Yeah.
Paxil is your serotonin reuptake inhibitor, and that will decrease your ability to have an orgasm, decrease your sex drive.
All right.
It can be quite a mess.
So,
Rebecca, you might talk to your doctor about switching to Cerazone, which works for sleep. It's also a serotonin drug, a little slightly different mechanism of action, and it doesn't cause the sexual dysfunction. Other choices would be Remeron, also good for sleep, doesn't cause the sexual side effects. And then thirdly, Wellbutrin.
All right, so go back to the psychiatrist and see if you can tweak it until it works for you. Troy?
Yeah?
17?
Yeah.
Bisexual?
Yeah.
Raised to be the ultimate gentleman?
Yeah.
Obsessed with sex?
Yes.
That's what it says on the screen.
Explain.
What?
Explain.
Well, my parents always wanted me to see, I have two older brothers, and my parents really didn't do well because they were younger when they had them. And then I came along like 5 years after my next oldest brother, and they wanted to fix things with me, so I wouldn't end up like this. They raised me to be the ultimate gentleman. I guess it took better than I thought, because to the point
where you started to like gentlemen.
Well, that and the fact that I can't walk up to a girl and touch her. If she offers her hand, I'm actually the guy who'll take the hand and kiss the back of it.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And with guys, I don't even stand around him, but if one will offer me his hand, I'll shake it, whatever. But I won't initiate any kind of physical contact because it's just not becoming.
Yeah, it's not that your parents raised to be a gentleman. It's that they were just all over you. Yeah. What? And they were intruding in every aspect of your life.
Let me tell you part of being bi is you got to blow guys. Talk about having a tough time shaking hands. Where do you get the penis in the mouth?
Well, that's part of the problem.
I'm not even used to that.
Yeah.
I'm 37.
Yeah.
Well, it's coming around. Yeah. I'm coming around.
That's part of the problem. See, mm-hmm. I have the want to do that, but then there's a part of me that
the will.
Is not.
The will to blow.
Sure. The spirit is willing, but the mouth is weak.
Basically.
I want to talk more to Troy. Let's go to Bragg.
Hold on. The spirit is willing, but the rectum is weak?
No, he's more a mouth guy, it sounds
mouth
like.
Guy?
Yeah.
Okay, Troy. Hey, buddy?
Yes?
We're going to put you on hold for a minute.
Okay.
And then we're going to sort through the wreckage of your life.
He's bisexual.
But you'll be a new man when we're done with you.
Okay.
All right, buddy?
Okay.
All right, so hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back with Troy after this. That riff.
We've stumbled in a way to cure all the ills of mankind, have we not?
Yeah. Drew and I just had a serious discussion about peanuts. So here's the deal. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Anna Perlis, Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Countdown to oral surgery. What is it, Drew, now? Is it 11 hours exactly?
And, yeah.
Yeah. I'll be crying like a baby in that chair.
Yeah, but you're going to come in here all beat up on Vicodin, for God's sake.
The cast of Undeclared. That's Fox's big new hit coming in here tomorrow night. So it'll be good times. As I was saying earlier, I flew in from Vegas on Saturday night. And on the way out to Vegas, I flew Southwest both ways. And on the way out from Burbank to Las Vegas, I got myself some nice peanuts on the plane. And anyone who listens to the show with any regularity knows I really enjoy the nuts.
Yeah.
Especially the peanuts on the airplane when I'm drinking my nice beer, Bloody Mary. On the way back, just about the time I was getting ready for that double peanut sack that the Southwest airline was about to toss at me, here comes the stewardess with that Fiesta
flight
mix pack. Flight attendant with that Fiesta pack, which is basically that ranch stuff and that mustard stuff, and it's all sprayed on those Rye Crisp
and pretzels.
Pretzel things that are way too salty. It's kind of like hamster food, but it's too salty, and it's just...
Hamster wouldn't eat it.
The word fiesta and or party, no matter what language you say the word party in, it does not belong in the title of that grub.
Yeah.
That is some of the worst tasting crap I've ever had in my life. And I said to the stewardess, oh, where's the peanuts? Because that's really the only reason to fly Southwest is actually having peanuts on the plane. And she said, well, somebody on the plane is allergic to peanuts, and they phoned in and therefore will not be doing peanuts. And I thought to myself, this is the problem with this country in a nutshell. Hey, that's good, right, Drew?
Mm-hmm,
nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
We got 120 people on a plane. We got one person who's allergic to peanuts, and I'll say allergic and give them the benefit of the doubt, because I know if I talked to this person, I would realize they were just a mess, and this was all psychosomatic. But you got one person who's allergic to peanuts, and therefore the other 119 people will not do with the peanuts. And here is what I have to say. Maybe this is easy for me as a guy who's not allergic to peanuts. Here are my choices if I'm running this airline to this person who does not want me to have peanuts on their plane. A, take the goddamn bus. B, take your chances. Or C, since it is your problem, you get a respirator or a dust mask if you're worried about peanut pollen being circulated in the plane's ventilation system, and you put a mask on and protect yourself from the very dangerous peanut pollen.
But it goes at the core of something we deal with all the time here, and certainly I see all the time in the clinical world, which is we live in a time when people have a problem, when it's their problem, whatever it is, whether it's emotional condition, physical condition, it becomes projected onto everyone else.
That's right.
Even though it's my problem, I don't want to look at it that way. It's yours.
Right.
You're causing it. You're going to take care of it. It's the man. It's whoever. But it's as opposed to taking responsibility for it and just dealing.
Well, the reason they have a problem is so they can have a forum, an excuse to cry out about people helping them or not helping them. That's the whole reason the problem was created. People have legitimate problems. Don't talk about them that much.
They just deal with them.
Yeah. They actually, if you think about people that have substantial, legitimate, physical, emotional, or whatever kind of problems, legitimate problems, they quietly go about their business and don't want people, for the most part, to make a scene about it. So, I'd like to kill this person didn't want the peanuts on the plane. And by the way, you think you're going to go into anaphylactic shock if somebody two seats from you is eating peanuts, if you're allergic to peanuts? And by the way, if that's going to kill you, just put a shotgun in your mouth. If you're telling me that peanut dust is going to put you down, it's time for you to go. That's just Darwinism to me. You know what I mean? How you go through life on the off chance that you're going to get a little shot of peanut pixie dust and go into seizure. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah.
Do you know anyone that's that allergic to peanuts? And I know they talk about it. It exists. But doesn't that mean you'd have to be like John Travolta in that bubble?
Yeah, it seems like
you couldn't go anywhere, could you?
Manage it. You should be able to medication to manage that, it seems to me. Yeah, I mean, you should be able to manage that because that kind of thing would be around all the time.
Let me just float this real quick. If you are a person who could die because of someone eating peanuts in your proximity, you would need to address that.
Yeah.
Because I could bring a sack of peanuts on the plane, be sitting next to you, and break into them on my own and kill you.
Hell, you could be walking in a mall.
You couldn't go to a could not go to a Dodger game.
That's right.
Okay. I'd like this person killed from something other than a peanut. Perhaps a peanut. Ironically, I would like a shotgun to be loaded with peanut and just take this person's head off with it.
Nice.
Troy?
Yeah.
So, you're 17. You're bisexual. Have you ever been with a man or a woman?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Both?
Not the same time.
Oh, really? Oh. What have you done with a woman?
Well, I haven't given one a rim job.
Hold on, let me write that down. He's full of crap.
Yes,
now, right?
yes. Oh, yes.
All right. Hey, Troy, we're going to let you go.
Okay.
All right.
Nice try.
You know what I like? I like the, okay.
Yeah.
Which is, I like the, it's your loss tone.
Yeah.
We don't get to talk to Jack off Troy anymore about his bogus call. All right. See if you get any more calls. Don?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, my God.
Guys, you have to help.
What's happening, baby?
I feel totally incompetent.
Go ahead. You're 23.
Yeah, I met a guy at a club on Saturday, and he was really, really cute, whatever. We hooked up that night at his house, and sparks were really flying, whatever. We started having sex, and poof, like, he lost his erection, and that just never happened to me before. And then, yes, I took it as a challenge. Okay, I'm going to conquer it.
Hold on, crazy. He lost his erection?
Yeah, it just died.
Right? Where were you at sexually with his penis?
He was penetrating me.
He was in you and lost it.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second.
Hold on.
Oh, that's bad.
Well, it's here.
He could have been boozing, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe whatever he...
She got a little nutty, maybe.
Maybe something kicked in on him or something. Or maybe she starts screaming about Dad. Dad. She started crying about Dad in the middle of it.
Hello?
Yeah, Don?
Yeah, no, none of the above. It happened 5 times, and he's a recovering alcoholic. Like, that night, he didn't drink anything. He was totally sober.
All right, and you know for a fact that he didn't ingest anything or...
Yeah, pretty much.
No drugs.
I was with him pretty much the whole night.
No drugs. All
right. Wait, but he's probably on medication, right?
I didn't go through his medicine cabinet.
He's probably on he's on medication.
He was very sober.
He was nervous.
Right.
I mean, he's really hot. Like, this guy's definitely been around a lot of girls.
Let me say a couple of things. First off, let that be a lesson to you ladies. All hot guys have penises that are...
Penis problems. Yeah.
Right? And number two, guys who can dance have penises that don't work properly. Can he dance, this guy?
We weren't dancing. No. I don't know.
Okay. Well, he probably can.
But, I mean...
Nothing. You got a lot of energy.
It's not about you.
It was late. What time was this?
Like 3.
3 in the morning, and this guy was on the downhill side of the evening, and he stumbled a little. He lost his step.
Also, he was an addict. God knows what he did that might have affected his brain permanently. Number two, he's...
So he's ruined permanently?
No, he's fine.
No. And secondly, he may well be on medication and not talk to you about that, and that's a common side effect of some of these medications. And then... how did this work that it happened 5 times? What does that mean, it happened 5 times? You mean it got going?
As soon as it went down, like, it just sort of rolled over, and we, you know, doing other things. I tried to get him excited again, and he would pop up, and we would start again, and boom. the erection god, like, took it away or something. I don't know.
And maybe he has this, and he may have this problem chronically. He may have a problem. So who knows? You don't know this guy. Who knows?
Well, listen, all these pretty boys have this problem, I'm telling you. But Don, you're a
passionate.
You're like a Charlie girl, you know. You got a lot of energy. And I think sometimes guys get a little intimidated sometimes, you know. You guys just met and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay, are you sure?
Well, now what's up? Are you going to see him again?
Well, I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Well, how'd you leave it with him?
I tried to finish him, but it wouldn't happen, everything was sweet, and he wanted to, like, hug and cuddle, and I was just like, maybe I should go. I don't know. I called him today. I left a message. I don't know. I was like, hi. No, hope you're doing well. Whatever. Talk to you soon.
Oh, Dawn.
I don't know.
All right. Here's the other thing, too.
Nothing's going to come of this, but I just...
No. Can't get anything out of that guy's penis. Oh, I see what you're saying. See, yeah, here could be a problem, too. He could be embarrassed to see you again.
I mean, I'm the one who kind of feels...
I had this happen to me.
I don't know. My confidence is gone now.
No, listen, I'm sure... Where are you? You live in Los Angeles? Come on over to the studio. Let's build you up. Where do you live?
In L.A.
I know, but where?
Like, street?
Yeah, big streets.
Santa Monica and, like... Beverly Boulevard, like between there and
right
the flats of Beverly Hills.
Right here.
Yeah, you're not too far away.
Okay.
Why don't you come on down? Let's have a look at you. I'll build you right back up, okay?
Thanks, Adam.
No, I'm serious. Come on down.
Okay.
All right, you got a car?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fun, right?
Yeah.
You've always wanted to meet Drew, right?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll put you on hold. You come over here, and I'll build you up.
Thanks.
Right, you'll be a new woman when you leave, all right?
Okay, Adam.
All right, Damien, tell her how to get here. All right?
I thought you had a girlfriend.
I know. I'm not talking about sex. I mean just a blowjob. No, I have a girlfriend. We're very much in love. I just want to have a look at you.
Because what? To be able to then build her up?
I want to build her up.
Okay.
All right.
If she's something, in other words, what you're expecting is she's going to be something exceptional and there's no way that, you know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking she's going to be cute. That's what I'm thinking.
And therefore, you're going to be able to...
I don't know. I just she lives so close. You might as well tell her to come on by.
Jeez, Anderson got on the phone. Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Well, you know she puts out Anderson, and she's looking for a confidence builder right now. And I'll tell you, Anderson, his back isn't much good anymore, but his front works fine. So, I mean, he's got a bad back, but he's got a good front. Yeah. Well, get her over here. Anna?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Oh, no.
What? What happened? Yeah. Oh, wait. Is that her?
Is that Karen?
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on. We know who that is.
Right?
Wait a second.
She was a virgin last time we talked to her, though.
Are we talking about the girl who I've seen over here? Was come over here before as a friend of... I don't know.
No, we thought it was her, but it's not her.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right, thank you. Sorry. Anna?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I have this guy on the internet.
Whoa.
Hold on. Are you on tranquilizers?
No.
Is your phone screwed up?
Oh, I have a cell phone.
It's hard to understand you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, is that better?
Marginally.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's all right. A little better.
All right, I'm going to read your question. You met an Aussie on the net, an Australian guy. What should you do? No guys like you.
Well, I didn't really mean that. He asked me a question, and I just said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you're 15 years old, and guys at your school don't like you?
Well, they're really... bad people, so they're mean.
All the people at your school are bad
people?
They're
all preppies, and they're all rich, and they got their little daddies paying money, and they want to get Barbie. And
you're weird and gothy and angry at everybody?
I'm not gothy.
But you're angry. You're angry.
Different.
I'm different. They think I'm a freak. But
why do they think you're a freak?
Because you want them to think you're a freak.
I understand.
No, I don't want them to think I'm a freak.
What would cause them to think that way?
Well, I don't know. There's like a lot of rumors going on about me and stuff. So.
There's nothing unusual about the way you look? How you present yourself?
Not really. Yeah.
You dress preppy like your peers.
I don't dress preppy.
How do you dress?
sort of punkish.
There you go.
Punks at my school.
All right. I understand.
Listen, who even... People at that school don't even know who you are. What do you mean there's rumors going around?
Well...
If you present yourself a certain way, there's going to be consequence. That's the way life is.
There's in the newspapers and news and stuff about me, so...
What?
In the newspapers and news and stuff about me, so...
In the newspaper?
Yeah. She got a haircut. AP picked up on it, made the wire.
No.
I was reading about it on USA Today when I was on the plane.
What happened?
My dad pushed me out of a car.
Pushed you out of a car.
Yeah, moving car, yeah.
All right. This is front page material.
Well, but there you go. So you have an abusive family system. That's natural enough then. Yeah, that's horrible. Listen, Anna, that's horribly abusive. Mm-hmm. And when kids are abused, they react. They do different things. They feel angry. They feel out of place. They feel distrusting of other people. And they act out. You act out in angry ways. And when you act out, the world's going to sort of react to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to your own detriment, unfortunately. It's fine to be different. It's fine to be an individual. But to not expect the world to be... I understand you don't want to be anything.
That's not okay.
I know, for Adam, you don't want to be anything.
I like everyone to wear beige pajamas.
burlap.
When I'm in charge, everyone will wear gray pajamas with a belt built into it. And a you know, that little piece of pleated... elastic, you know, like a jumpsuit.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Be like Logan's Run.
Yeah.
Hey, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Look, here's the situation. I was going to ask you about your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a bunch of psychological stuff, and it's kind of hard to understand, but your dad did a number on you, and now the only way you sort of relate to people is when they're doing a number on you.
Right.
So
you are that person.
So you create this situation where people don't like you or people have it against you or people are talking about you. And you're the one who's creating that by the messages that you give them. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
By the way you dress or the way you act. And if you don't want people to judge you that way or talk about you that way, then don't give them the information.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's forget about preppies and punks. Let's talk about terrorists. It's not a great time to grow a full beard, wear a turban, carry the Quran, and then walk around carrying like flight manuals. Now, right. you could do that, and it's your business if
right.
you want to do that. But certainly do not complain that people are suspicious, that people are talking about you, that people are looking at you.
Right.
If you don't want people to talk about you, and you don't want people to judge you, and you don't want people to look at you, then let your hair go back to its normal color and put on a pair of sweatpants.
Right.
And I guarantee you they'll stop talking. But you don't want that because you don't know you're alive until people are talking about
well, they
you
are. That's
and
who
plotting
she is.
Against
she
you
is
because
the
that's
person.
Who you are
yeah.
because you got a dad who pushes you out of a moving car.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to focus on. Forget about this guy in Australia you met on the net because Australia is at least, I mean, it's further than Oregon, right?
Even.
I mean, it's almost out of the country.
Even further, yeah.
It's way out there, that Australia.
My questions are going to my PECA.
and just meet a nice punk guy at school. All right. Where are we here, Drew? Mark?
Yeah?
But everyone, stop acting out, please. Like that chick who walked up to me and wanted to know if I was always a prick.
Huh?
She gets to walk away from that and say that I attacked her.
Yeah.
And that's she got what she wanted. Mark?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead there, buddy.
I was wondering because they said that... If you masturbate a young teen, you lose your sex drive when you get older.
Who told you that?
Some people.
They're wrong. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. You're free to masturbate. Okay?
Okay.
Beat it. How many times are you good for a day?
Like two or three times.
Two or three times. At 14, huh?
Yeah.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah. You'll be fine. Yeah, the last laugh will be on all those people who were saving themselves for nothing.
Okay.
All right, Mark. You get one out tonight for me, all right?
Okay.
Get one out?
And I don't mean for me. I mean, I want you really to think about me.
Get one out? Oh, my God.
You completely focus, all right?
Okay.
All right.
This is Goofball Friends.
I went on this porn website last night.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing it. You're going
for the first time.
Oh. Oh man, I'm surprised you showed up for work today.
First time. I was actually on the. I stayed in last night. Just got drunk. You know, sat around the house.
Yeah.
Had a couple of cocktails and relaxed.
Do you have DSL?
No.
I have DirecTV DSL. I'm gonna get that for you. It's the greatest thing ever.
Okay.
Do you have DirecTV?
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting that for you.
All right, thank you. So I had a few cocktails. I was just putzing around watching TV, and I decided to go get on the Home Depot website.
Home Depot?
Yeah. So I got on the Home Depot website, and I didn't find it. I was just sitting around watching TV and putzing around on a computer, which I never do. And I don't know really how to do it very well, so I thought, it's time to learn. And then I thought, let me check out one of these porn websites. I was looking at this porn magazine. Mm-hmm. So I was checking out this porn website. And I thought, I got one of these movies here. I got to order me one of these DVD movies. I like this one.
Which one was it?
It was some big boob one. I don't know the name of it.
Shocking.
Shocking. And then I thought to myself, God damn it, I wish I had that thing now. Then I thought, you bought this magazine 2 weeks ago. You were looking at this movie thing in it, and you could have ordered it back
don't
then.
They,
but
don't
no.
they stream it down to you? Can't you get it to...
Yeah, you can see some pictures and some stuff, but it ain't the DVD.
Ain't the real thing.
Oh, not even close. No different than seeing, maybe the trailer of a movie or something, right. Or the poster for a movie. Right. So I thought, all right, you know what you should do? You should order this movie now. And I thought, well, what good does that do me? And I thought, well, listen, Lame Brain, if you'd used this logic a week ago, you'd have it by now.
Right.
And then I thought, yeah, but I need it now.
So you went out and got it?
No.
No.
I didn't know where I could get it. I probably would have.
Did you order it?
Well, then I thought, okay, we'll order it now, would you? Then I thought, nah, I'd like to beat off. Then I thought, well, wait a minute. You'll beat off, then you'll order it. Then I said, no. You beat off. You ain't ordering it. You're back on the Home Depot website. And I said, no. Yes, you will. And I said, no. Then I said, order now. And I said, no, listen. I'll go beat off, then I'll order it. And then I'm saying, you're not going to order it if you beat off. You'll be sorry next weekend.
Oh, jeez.
So I went and beat off.
No order.
No way. Oh, I was disgusted at myself. $49. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's a lot of money. Well, it was a DVD.
Oh, my God.
You don't got that kind of cash to throw around.
It must be really difficult to be you.
It's horrible.
It's got to be.
So the point is,
the humanity.
We can just go ahead and fast forward to next weekend when I repeat this scenario in my head again.
You know what? We're going to the web right now, and we're getting this for you. Right now.
I don't know the website.
Well, you know the name of the movie?
We can try.
All right, let's get it.
We're not going to do it.
Why?
I don't know the name of it. It was, I can figure it out.
All right, let's go.
All right, thank you. All right, hey, buddy. Let's take a leak, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. 10 hours and 32 minutes until my oral surgery begins. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's had the pleasure of experiencing root canal, but it is. So far, I've not come across anything in life that is quite as disturbing as that.
Just get that nitrous going; you'll be fine, right?
I'm too weird for nitrous.
Yeah,
I freak out.
You gave us a great example of that before the break.
I did.
Yeah.
What was I saying?
The internal dialogue, the internal dialogue, the civil war that goes on in your soul.
Yeah, yeah. I got to figure out something with that. And the other problem is I get the nitrous through the nose, and my nose doesn't work very well.
Oh, yeah.
And I breathe through my mouth.
Yeah.
But they give you the nitrous through the nose thing.
Right.
So I don't get it like I should get it because 85% of my air comes through my mouth. Yeah. That's why it's fun to eat lunch with me, because I breathe, talk, and eat at the same time. And
listen, it's good. It's a good thing you got a career on radio going.
Yeah.
When you try to eat on radio, it sounds delightful. Nick, 19.
What's
up, right. Nick?
All right, Adam, Drew, I got a question for you guys. Before I make love to my girlfriend, I feel like I love her, and it feels sincere to me.
You're gay.
Mm-hmm. And?
All right. But afterwards, I feel like I don't love her anymore, honestly. Like, I could do without her, you know?
How long does that last for?
How long does that feeling last for?
Yeah.
Until I get horny again, I guess.
Right.
I'm not, you know, I mean, I feel like I really love her, but then when I'm done...
Yeah,
okay. I honestly feel like I don't need her anymore.
Well, it's very similar to Adam's internal struggle.
This is what happened to me last night on the computer.
Right.
That's why I didn't order that porn.
He was in love with her while he was thinking about masturbating, but when he was done, he was disgusted. Oh. Right? Isn't that what happened?
Does it mean I really love her, or is it just not?
No, it means that you have a lot of... No, it means that you have a certain personality... I'm going to theorize here. Personality constructs where envy... is sort of a prominent feature. And when you have a lot of envy, the things you want most in the other person are soiled by you getting them, quite literally. That the fact that she would have you sort of spoils the whole thing.
Oh, and really? Is that what he's saying?
I'm not
getting that.
Yeah, he said he wants her and then he's disgusted, doesn't want her afterwards.
Well, it's not like disgusted. I'm disgusted with her, but it's just, you know, it's like I feel like I don't really love her as much as I did before.
Yeah, well, Nick, this happens to most 19-year-old males.
Some version.
This is why women don't trust males. And it's sort of, I know we... Here's what's hard to do as a guy, Nick, and I got to do this myself. A lot of guys don't look at women as people or human beings. They look at them as sort of things they need. You know what I mean? Not much different than anything in life you need. Yeah. And that doesn't mean they're not real important, but they're not. They might as well be something on a shelf at a store that you want to purchase, you know? And it takes a while to start looking at them as a human being so that even when you don't need them or even when you don't have a boner, they still exist and they're still human beings.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's hard to do when you're 19 and that's not what you're feeling. You just chip away. I mean, Drew, think about what a mess you were at 19 relationship-wise.
Oof.
I mean, you're a disaster.
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 Disaster. And I was a mess, and so was everybody I know. I don't trust a guy at 19 who's how to treat a woman.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, but here's the point, all the 19-year-olds that are listening to this show. Don't call this show at 29 and then again at 39 and be in the exact same place.
Right.
You be like Drew over here. You do some work on yourself, and you end up having a good relationship.
Right.
Eric?
Hi.
You're 25?
Hey.
Hold on a second. Mm. Hold on, lover. This is another guy. I mean, it's another guy with the same kind of problem.
As who?
Our last caller.
Really? Interesting. Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree.
So, Eric, just hang on one second. Let's just take a different kind of call, and then we'll get right back with you. It's not the same call, but it's the same kind
similar
of
vibe. Issues, yeah.
Amber?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Uh-huh.
What's up, baby?
Well, earlier I cut on myself.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you cut on yourself?
On my legs.
Yeah.
You ever cut before?
Nah, first time.
Well, are you in treatment of any type?
No.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Do you do drugs?
Some.
Which ones?
Just pot and acid.
Doing a lot of acid?
Not really.
Well, the sort of impulse to cut, at very least, is a sign that something real serious is going on, right? You didn't intend to harm yourself, is that correct?
Yeah.
You did or did not?
No, I didn't do it deep enough, just enough to get blood.
But you didn't intend to harm yourself?
Yeah.
All right. And the fact is that when you have very heavy feelings that you're... brain literally has no other way to manage, cutting is one of the ways that people get a release. And it's a sign that really something is remiss and something needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
You need to get some help for this.
I'm going to pay a guy to cut on my gums tomorrow. I was just thinking about that. Hey, Amber.
Mm-hmm.
How about a little help for yourself?
Okay.
I mean, obviously you're depressed, you're angry, you're
doing pot, doing acid, you may be harming yourself with those chemicals.
What's up? Who's not paying attention to you at that home?
Not really anybody.
I see. You don't exist over there?
Yeah, since I was 7.
Yeah.
Why? What happened then?
My mom, took off.
Is she still gone?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know the thing, I had this when I was a kid, too. When you have a family that doesn't really pay attention to you, your impulse is to try to hurt yourself to draw attention to yourself.
Right.
And this, although when you have a family that doesn't care, you got the wrong people. You know what I mean? It's a it's a bad situation.
They're not going to care anyway. Yeah.
It's marginally. I mean, it's more than they would when you're healthy, but it's still never. It's not real. Not
right.
much.
Right.
Amber.
Mm-hmm.
You need friends. Where are your friends?
Well, I just moved here, and I'm not really close to anybody.
Well, you need to start making friends. Here's the deal with your family. I'm gonna be straight with you. There's a magic unicorn that comes down from the castle in the sky.
No, what? Listen, I was at the Jimmy Carter Center last week, and we were examining youth at risk and whatnot. And when you go into some of the more disturbed family situations, it turns out that half of the kids turn out okay.
Yeah.
Much to the surprise. And if you look at those kids and try to figure out what it was that protected them from psychological damage of those dysfunctional families.
Magic unicorn.
And the magic unicorn. It turns out a significant relationship in or outside the home.
Yes.
One good relationship.
That's right.
Is protective.
One pedophile priest can make the difference.
But like, what were the bros you hung out with and played football?
Everyone on my team was my brother.
Yeah, but you had that one family you hung out with and played football. And
the Boyd brothers.
Boyd brothers.
The black
Boyd
guys, yeah. Yeah, I hung out everywhere but my house. But, Amber, this is what you need. You need friends. And I know you're new, but you got to, it's you're 15. You're going to school. Make some friends. Find some girls who you have something in common with. And
not to like the cut on themselves
the
and wear
part.
Black and have black fingernail polish.
Right.
Somebody that's positive and upbeat and can make you feel better about yourself and give you some distraction and some fun.
Right. Here's what I want to say, Amber. Your family is not a good family, and they're probably never going to be good. And that's sad, but it's true. And you're 15, and you're getting some independence, and in a few short years, you'll be completely independent. And you got to start taking care of yourself and making friends and making yourself feel better and not worrying about your screwed up family. Okay.
Okay.
There you go, Amber.
You
got
to study in school and stay after school and go to band practice or cheerleading practice or volleyball or some crap
Do that for us. Come on.
Right.
Please.
Okay.
What?
What are you saying, Anderson? Is someone pushing a button there?
Okay.
No, those two jackoffs. What are they doing? We got a couple. Okay. We only let professionals in the studio. We got a couple of visitors watching the show tonight. One of them set his Yoo-hoo down on a button. Jenny?
Or Jeannie?
Jeannie?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I said Jenny. Jeannie?
Yeah. I just have a really quick question for you.
Yeah?
My door seems like it's too big for my hinge. The door separates the hall from the living room, and I tried to shut it to keep my son out of the back room.
Yeah.
And I slammed it really hard because it doesn't close all the way,
mm-hmm.
and it actually got stuck out of the two back rooms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the door got stuck shut?
Yeah, it got stuck shut because it doesn't, it like overlaps the hinge. She's talking
about the hinge. I don't think that's what she means.
I mean, like, the door looks like it's too big. Like, it doesn't close all the way. You have to, like, keep slamming it to get it to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I slammed it, and then I got it stuck. And I actually couldn't get in there for about 15 minutes. I had to kick it in.
Does it stick all the way along the door jamb or just at the top?
It seems like it's just, like, at the end where you shut it and at the top.
This is like me talking to dermatologic problems.
Yeah, well, but I got stuck out of there, and I can't. Do you think it's like a hinge? Should I just take it off and try to put it back on, or
you in the same house with the door in it right now?
No, I'm at work.
Okay. Okay. Here's what you can. How old's the house?
Pretty old. It was built in 1965.
Very old. Ancient. Yeah. You know, people across the country are thinking, what
Yeah.
Old house.
Yeah, that's not that old house. All right. Well, 1965, so it's a pile of ass.
Yeah, that it is.
Everything that was built in 1965 sucks.
Well, not quite as bad as 74, but
that's yeah. True, but they were practicing in 65. They were going to build.
Well, they got
74.
That metal window down in 64, didn't they?
Yeah, flat roofs with the rocks on them.
Yeah, so they got
genius. Okay, so hey, look, here's what you need to do.
Okay.
Take yourself a screwdriver and tighten up the hinges at the top, just the top hinge.
Okay.
Tighten the screws up. But if the screw turns and it's not biting anything, it just keeps turning,
mm-hmm.
pull it out, take like a toothpick or a popsicle stick or something and like make it pointy and shove it in a hole and break it off and then put the screw back in there again. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay. So I take the screw off and then...
If it's stripped. Don't okay. forget, it's not going to work.
This is not going to work. Look, hey, Jenny.
Yeah.
Call Handyman.
Jeannie. Let me say this one more time, Jeannie.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to recap. I'm going to say it exactly how I said it the first time.
Please.
Turn that screw that's on the top hinge.
The one that's in the door and in the jamb?
The screw that's in the door and in the door jamb. Yeah. Just turn them and tighten them. And if when you try to tighten them, if they just keep spinning... And it feels like they're not biting anything, then unscrew it, take it out, take a toothpick or something, some kind of piece of wood, and break it off in the screw hole, and then put the screw back in there.
Okay.
All right, that's the best you can do tonight. Ever. That's it. All right, so now here's
break.
Eric.
No, we're doing a break now.
All right, but let me just say hi to Eric. Eric?
Hi.
Sorry for keeping you on hold there, buddy.
That's okay.
But now we got to take a break.
Okay.
But you're first.
Okay.
When we come back, okay?
Thanks.
All right. We'll be back with Eric's problem after this.
All right.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Forget about the phone number. It's too late. We'll just take what we got.
Eric's been on hold.
Yeah. Undeclared, the cast of the hit Fox show Undeclared in here tomorrow night. By the way, Family Guy back on Fox.
Oh, good. Does that mean your show's going to get aired?
Unacceptable.
I don't know, but I watched the Family Guy last week. Funny as hell.
Mm.
That show is really funny. Eric?
Yeah.
All right. So sorry there, buddy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
25 years old. You get aroused when your girlfriend told you about sex with another guy.
Right. We had split up,
mm-hmm.
and we got back together again.
Right.
We had actually had sex, and we were laying there, and I kind of jokingly asked if she had been with anybody else, and she replied that she had.
Yeah.
And that response aroused you?
That response, I was kind of angry, definitely angry, but at the same time, I became very aroused and had an orgasm within seconds, probably.
Spontaneously?
I touched myself, but, I mean, yeah, within seconds. This is probably minutes after we had actually had sex.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I had told her that that's what had happened, and she
got up and
left. Became aroused, and we had sex again.
You had a third orgasm then?
A third orgasm, right.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And
wait a minute. She's lying in bed with you, right?
Right.
You have to explain to her that you had the second orgasm? She's lying right there.
Well, I kind of rolled over and did it, and she didn't know. I thought she did, and we talked about what happened with her and the other guy, and I
say, what did you have to throw away that mattress after that evening?
Big laundry bill.
Jesus Christ, the thing would have to be dipped. This is a common thing. Drew always scoffs at me when I say it is, but it is.
What is?
For guys.
Okay.
They hear about this. I've done this before.
What?
You have some girlfriend. She starts telling you about some old boyfriend or some guy she was with when you guys broke up or whatever. And you're kind of angry but yet aroused in a kind of can't stop messing with that tooth that hurts with your tongue kind of way.
Yeah.
This is a guy trait.
Yeah.
I used to be this way myself. It's something when you stop producing testosterone, you start producing estrogen. Actually, I now produce kitty litter. That's what I have in my veins, so I feel nothing now. But you got that to look forward to, Eric. But I understand this. It's not a great sign, but on the other hand...
In terms of how he feels about women.
Yes.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you're an honest guy, and you're calling the show, and you're coming clean.
He's 25. And, he's not 35.
Right. So, here's your work, Eric.
Okay.
You have feelings about women, kind of a love-hate kind of thing, right?
No, I really, really get along with women. I don't... I love women. I would choose a woman as a friend over a man.
Anyway. How about this particular one?
I love her. I mean, she's perfect.
But yet you found yourself sort of angry and aroused at the thought of her being intimate.
This is in our sex life. We had kind of worked in like a story time kind of thing where we would kind of invite and make scenarios where. It would be with other people or whatever.
Well, these are wonderful stories.
Yeah.
I do that, too. I go, hey, here's the scenario. You're a deaf mute, and I'm me. Ready? Suck! Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's great. It's a wild fantasy. You're a deaf mute who loves to fix sandwiches. And I'll play the nappy-headed boy makes good from North Hollywood guy. And action. All right, listen, I'm not sure exactly what Eric... I don't know why Eric's calling then if it's all good.
He's just weirded out by it and he wondered if it was abnormal. It's not abnormal in any sort of clinical sense. It's, as you said, suggests that he has a little more aggression towards women than he might think. But whatever. He's 25.
Okay. He says he loves them.
I get that.
Guys who love women don't... Well, there is that... I mean, look, a guy could do this. I think it's a common fantasy. I don't think it's one that you identify with, Drew, but I identify with it.
What's that?
That chick who's been with the other guy fantasies. A lot of guys have that fantasy
of... I got
of,
zero of that.
You have zero. You have none of that.
Yeah.
But I'm take my word for it.
It happens. It's
common. They're guys who like to see their woman with another guy.
Yeah, that to me is bizarre.
I found that very arousing. Yeah. They're guys who like to sort of fantasize about other guys or have them weave these tales about that.
Yeah.
And you're probably healthy. It's really probably the only one healthy thing about you, Drew.
Yeah, that's
you
probably
should
it.
Really, you should really just cling to it. Tom?
Hey, what's up?
You're 20. What's going on?
Hey, now I know why you guys truly do have the dumbest listeners. Anyone that would call for 2 hours just to talk about their penis is insane.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, it takes literally 2 hours to get through sometimes.
My questions are going to my pecker.
Sorry, buddy.
I want to know, Adam, could you give me some advice on how to get into radio?
I think you
boxing.
Should
just... That's how Adam did it.
You just got to... Here's the thing about radio, as far as I can tell.
You got to go into a radio station.
There's a lot of weak talent in radio, and all you got to do is get your foot in the door and hang out, and then you get on the air, and then once you get on the air, they can't get you off the air.
Yeah,
some kind of weird pact with the devil you make. So you need to go down. Forget about taking classes at school. Just to be in college so you can intern.
Or what, go a college radio station, become,
Yeah. You got to intern at a local radio station.
Well, no, wait a minute, though. You've sort of advised against that because then you become the guy that answers the phone.
No, I have not.
Now you're the guy that answers the phone.
Just get to that radio station and get in there.
Yeah. Well, what about, I live in a big market. Is it more difficult?
Yes, obviously.
Rather than, Iowa or whatever?
Obviously.
Bigger is always harder for everything. But, I got into radio in L.A., and that's a big market.
Did you start off on a morning show there?
Yeah.
Well, tell your story.
No, I don't want to tell. I told it last week. But, hey, Tom?
Yeah.
If it's something you're really interested in, call Drew at home.
If you're interested, hone your skills of communication. Don't worry about studying radio.
Okay,
here's
what I would do. Very good. Tom, if you're really interested in it, then get involved in theater, get involved in acting, get involved in improv, get involved in comedy, get involved in writing, get involved in all aspects of communication. Then go intern at whatever local radio station you can find. And yeah, you're in a big market, but you're not asking to do morning drive time. You're just asking to get coffee and answer phones. And get in there, see how things run, and see if you can impress somebody.
There you go.
Thank you. We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back with more radio after this. All right. 10 hours until oral surgery. We'll go home and have a real, real nice night's sleep tonight.
I'm sure you will.
All right. What is that show there, Drew? I was just talking about. Yeah, Undeclared. Coming in tomorrow night, the cast. It's a new Fox show. Well, it's been out a couple of months, I think, and it's getting real good reviews, ratings, yeah, and good reviews. And the I hear nothing but good about it. So those kids will be in tomorrow night. We'll be glad to see them then. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Are you an asshole in real life, too? She was like a 16-year-old girl. And I just looked at her and I said, beat it.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.